This is Toon Talk Weekly, episode 257. This week, Brad and I visit a classic that I'm surprised we never got around to yet. We watch Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Greetings, y'all! Cousin Simple? Nephew Normal? Sweet Cousin Maldehyde? Cousin Slicker? And my old friend Scooby-Doo? Now that you're all here, might as well get down to the nitty-gritty of inheriting my fortune. You're all going to receive an equal share of the $1 million providing you spend tonight here in the old family mansion.
That shouldn't be too hard.
The house is haunted.
Oh? Haunted?
Yes, haunted.
Day just keeps getting better.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Toon Talk Weekly. This is the weekly cartoon podcast where we chat all about cartoons. I'm Jake Williams. I don't host this show alone. If you're watching the video version over on YouTube, you know that Brad Chmielewski's here as well again. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
It's going well, dude. I don't know. It's hard to hide, A, what the show title is, that I have a co-host, what we watched this week, any of that
right,
stuff
yeah.
if people are watching.
Unless you have a mystery audio listener listening for the first time that's never tuned in.
Never tuned. Is it a pun? Like a tune?
It totally
could be. man, it's been a pretty good week. Trying to pick some new cartoons for us to watch. And in exchange, I ended up like planning the next couple of episodes, which I love these weeks when I get ahead and I'm able to actually like plan ahead what we might end up watching.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch any more? Our last episode was Billy Dilly Subterranean Summer Adventures, right? Is that the full name?
Yeah,
did you watch?
Can we recite it, Billy Dilly?
Did you watch any more?
No, absolutely not. No.
Okay, I haven't watched any more either. I kind of forgot about it,
right.
So I need to dive into it. But like I said on that episode, it's fun, but maybe not my like go to cartoon.
I mean, when I was going through our archives, like planning a lot of the collateral, the images and stuff I post along with the shows, I did see Billy Dilly from last week. And I have to be honest, I completely forgot Billy Dilly was the thing after we recorded it, after I did the edit and posted it. Didn't even think about it. But yeah, of course, this week, if you've seen the title, you downloaded this episode, probably piqued your interest because it's a show you've totally heard of. We do have a habit on the show of like, I would say maybe 30-something percent is like shows you probably never heard of because they just sound ridiculous and we got to
right,
cover
yeah.
But this week, of course, a heavy hitter, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? The very first incarnation of the Scooby-Doo character that's gone on to be probably one of the biggest media franchises around. Like I don't know where he stands in like the tier lists of modern cartoons. Not modern, but I mean like all time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of where Scooby-Doo stands. He's just iconic, right? Everyone knows what Scooby-Doo is. Everyone knows like maybe the inside Scooby snack jokes. They probably know most of like the gang's name, but people aren't like talking about it like maybe SpongeBob. It's not meme-y like SpongeBob. It's also a little repetitive. So,
right.
It's very hard to remember one Scooby-Doo from another Scooby-Doo.
That's true. I you say memeable, like I kind of think, how has Scooby-Doo not had his day where there's like stills from random characters or weird situations from Scooby-Doo with text over them? I feel like that should be a thing.
Well, because all the lines are the same, right? You That's do them true. Once, you do like, oh, jinkies, and then,
Yeah, when I was doing a little bit of research to get our show notes together for this week's show, which you can find over at toontalkweekly.com with this episode, I did notice like there was a breakdown in some of the articles I read, which were like, there is typically a formula and here it is. And I was actually shocked to think like how formulaic it truly is. Like, you know, I guess the standard gags typically happened, but it's always like the mystery machine like runs out of gas or malfunctions somehow, so they got to stop, and they happen to be in front of a factory, a warehouse, a mansion, an old ship or something. Turns out on that day, there happens to be like a ghost or paranormal or some type of problem that is unexplained, so the gang volunteers to help. So that's the setup, typically all the time. Then the gang, even though they are a group, typically splits up. Fred and Velma end up finding clues. Daphne ends up getting like scared or run away. And Shaggy and Scooby go find the fun things or find food. And then they ultimately find the bad guy. Like the bad guy finds them first, typically. And they end up trying to plan some elaborate trap, which the trap stuff, dude, is stuff that I totally don't remember about Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I don't remember the traps either. I think both episodes we watched, but like, when I think of Scooby-Doo, I always think back to, what was it? It's probably the 1999 or 2000 mm-hmm. Scooby-Doo live action movie with Matthew Lillard.
And Freddie Prinze Jr., yeah.
Yeah, like I think of that because it also took all the like kind of jokes that like, oh yeah, Scooby and Shaggy are just smoking weed and doing drugs, and Daphne and Fred are off like making out kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They took all those jokes to like those levels.
And that was I'm pretty sure that film was PG-13, so they even had to tone that stuff down.
Right, yeah.
And to finish the formula, it's typically, you know, it gets uncovered that it's somebody who you either met earlier in the episode, or it's someone who has some sort of stake in whether this bed and breakfast shuts down or the ship gets demolished or something like that. And of course, the famous line, "I would have gotten away with it if you weren't for you meddling kids," is kind of where it comes from. So Scooby-Doo, yeah, go ahead.
So here's my problem with Scooby-Doo. Like how it's, you know, it's fun and fine, but like these kids have been on dozens of missions, right? Mm-hmm. Or not missions, or cases, right? Always. Every time, it is never a ghost, ever. It's never been a ghost, but they treat it like every time, like, oh my God, this place is haunted. It's a ghost. We're scared. We're running away until we set up the trap and figure it out. It's like, guys, like, you just get there and be like, yeah, you're not a ghost. Rip this off. This is solved. Like, I'm not. How are you still scared of these ghosts? Not ghosts.
I mean, what is the number? How many houses does it take you to decide that, like, this is a pattern? And I think it's like two or three.
Yeah, that's why, if you think about it, like, they're likely on drugs all the time, so they probably don't remember one from the other one, except the episode I watched was, I won't get into it, but Scooby-Doo was like inheriting something because he saved some guy from a ghost previously. So it's like, well, you guys remembered that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are literally tied together. How could you not possibly remember that? Dude, there was an episode, I was actually looking for an episode that I swear I remember, and I'm pretty sure it's Scooby-Doo, where it was like, there was some sort of race that would happen, like like race cars, and a fog would creep in, and suddenly, like, a skeletal racer, like the ghost of some famous racer or something, appear and win, and then they ended up, I think they find out that, like, the fog was manufactured and it was, like, light beaming through the fog that made it look like a skeleton racer or something like that. But I could not find for the life of me what that episode, and I don't know if that was a Scooby-Doo Where Are You, some of the original stuff, or if it was later when, like, Scrappy got added, or, like, Scooby All-Stars or any of that stuff.
Right, yeah. It all melds together, right? Like, I remember, like, the Harlem Globetrotter episode, like, sticks with me, but that was probably Scooby-Doo All-Stars, right? Or was that Scooby-Doo Where Are You?
I don't even know what the name of it was, but yeah. I do know that, the Globetrotters have been. I'm pretty sure they've recently even done crossovers with wrestling, which is kind of great.
Right, and I don't remember, like, what they were trying to solve there. I'm sure, like, some mystery, but the Harlem Globetrotters just happened to be there, and it's like... And now I'm like, are the Harlem Globetrotters still a thing? But at that time, there was like peak Harlem Globetrotters.
Peak Globetrotters, yeah. And, you know, I think there was actually a fun parody episode of South Park where the band Korn is Scooby-Doo, like they're the mystery machine kind of thing and have to like solve a mystery.
Oh, I don't remember that. Okay.
It's super weird. But, well, it had to be when corn was popular, so it's definitely a while ago. Anyway, so let's get into a little backstory. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? The 1969 series. It was created by Joe Ruby and Ken Spears. I had completely forgotten about this because actually it's been a while, I think. I can't quite remember what the last Hanna-Barbera show we watched was. But so it was produced.
What? It was that stupid dog one. Not Nate Dogg.
Oh, you mean Grape Ape?
No.
We just did Grape Ape. That actually probably was the recent one.
But I was thinking of the Sheriff Dog.
There was Hong Kong Phooey. There was
No, we did it with that dog that was the sheriff. That's not Dudley Do-Right.
Not Droopy.
Not Droopy. Or is he a horse?
Now I have to go back through because I'm like, wait a second, what are you? We've actually done a lot of more recent shows. We've been doing a lot more modern stuff, and now I'm so confused.
Yeah, he was like, he's the Old Town West sheriff.
We might be talking about. I just said it. Now I can't think of it. Hong Kong Phooey.
No, Hong Kong Phooey. He's like the police.
Like the police dog.
Yeah, no, the one with the sheriff is not that.
Well, I will tell you, dude, that we have not watched this in the last, tons of episodes.
But then I'm getting confused because then I think the Pac-Man episode happened in the Wild West, too.
I mean, we've talked about that a ton. Like, that just happens where, like, the episodes seem to, like, overlap with the plots possibly could be. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, man. I need like a Hanna-Barbera page. I have literally been, this is great radio, great for the show. I've been like going back through. Heck, I've even passed Pac-Man and you just brought him up. Yeah, man. We haven't watched this since I lived in Chicago. Let's put it that way. That's all.
Oh my gosh, really? Damn. Yeah. Okay. For some reason, that one like popped in my head as our last one.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't know who this guy is.
We are also currently on episode 257, and I was just looking. I do this thing a lot, guys, where I say, hey, I'm going to make time to watch the show. Of course, I get distracted, watch something else. I still say almost every day, almost every week, and I say, you know what? I'm going to finish those last Castlevanias I didn't check out because I love that show. That was episode 209, literally 1 year ago, and I still have not caught up on that show. I'm the worst.
They're going to come out in a second. I'll let you talk about... Scooby-Doo here, and I will find this episode of whatever this dog is.
So what I was confused about was Joe Ruby and Ken Spears. The name sounded familiar because, of course, Ruby Spears Productions. We had watched, I think, a couple of their shows, and I think we felt, and a lot of the stuff we read was that the Ruby Spears Productions was like an offshoot of Hanna-Barbera because basically the studio wanted more competition, so they hired them to run their own studio in 1977. And so those cartoons actually didn't take off to be as popular as some of the Hanna-Barbera classics you remember. However, they were writers and artists on Hanna-Barbera shows, including Scooby-Doo, so they helped create Scooby-Doo himself. 3 seasons, 41 total episodes of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? However, it was actually 2 seasons, and then what they did was they mashed up basically episodes of Scooby-Doo All-Stars and the Scooby-Doo show, which were on ABC, and they just mashed them together and like called it a third season, but I guess a lot of fans still only call it like 2 main seasons of the show. Of course, produced by Hanna-Barbera. And this is basically the very first incarnation of the Scooby-Doo character. Of course, we brought up I need to know. I want to say it was like 2003. And I want to know when this film came out. Oh, 2002. So it's been a long time.
The Scooby-Doo, that was a Scooby-Doo movie.
Yeah, and I think they've done a couple since.
Yeah.
But maybe weren't as popular. I remember liking that movie so much, but I think it was because Andre 3000 and Outkast had a song on it that was really good.
Okay.
So, to follow up,
I found the episode.
Great.
It was Quick Draw McGraw.
Oh, why couldn't we think of his name? People are like shouting at their computers.
That was episode 173, so.
A little while ago. I would say Grape Ape is a little bit more recent.
Yeah, okay.
What does that end up being? That's almost 2 years ago. That's what that ends up being.
I don't know. It doesn't say the dates here.
So we did bring up basically the formula plot, but basically what to expect from an episode of Scooby-Doo. A gang of characters consisting of 4 teenagers being Fred Jones, Daphne Blake, Velma Dinkley, and Norville Shaggy Rogers. I did not know that his first name is Norville. That's pretty great. That's a great name. And the title character, semi-anthropomorphic Great Dane named Scooby-Doo. They basically travel around in a van called the Mystery Machine, and they kind of solve mysteries by whatever locals might need their help. And the perpetrator is almost always someone masquerading as some sort of ghost. So it's like a perpetual Halloween show.
And it is 90% the first person you meet.
Yeah.
And that's really funny because I recently watched Craig from the Creek. Yeah. And they're like solving this mystery, and they're reading like a Hardy Boys kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, rules for solving a mystery. It's always the first person you meet.
Oh, goodness.
Like, that was one of their tips.
They were like giving away the plot of Scooby-Doo before you even got there.
Yeah.
And I will say, man, watching this as an adult was... like, the character design is way more obvious in the very beginning who the perpetrator is. It's something that I think even as a kid I knew, like, yeah, they're always going to solve it, whatever. But the situations are wacky and fun enough that you kind of don't care. But man, I think we both watched the same episode, which was called A Night of Fright is No Delight. And it was essentially the plot of, for whatever reason, actually Mystery Machine, not in this episode. They're on a boat in the beginning of the episode, heading off to this like castle mansion place on this island. Right. And this guy has died. He had a funny name, man. I wish I could remember his last name because it was a pun. Whatever it was. There was like a funny pun. Oh, Colonel Mustard. Whatever his name was, like Beauregard Mustard. And they're like, oh, Colonel Mustard. Haha, great. And actually, right. Most of the characters... the side characters in this one, I feel like, were like play on words or like puns.
Well, I think they were playing off, like, it was a little bit of a clue kind of joke here, because the whole thing was the classic, you get to inherit this place if you spend the night here. Like, that's the only rule. We have seen this time and time again in many Simpsons horror episodes, in every freaking cartoon and Halloween special that you have ever watched, it's been a part of.
I literally didn't put the two and clue together here until you mentioned that this is like kind of a clue parody. Mm-hmm. But what we learn is that this guy passed away, and he's going to give his inheritance to four relatives and a dog that saved him like not too long ago. That dog being Scooby-Doo. I would love to see. I didn't dig into this. This is actually season one, episode 16. So clearly there's been plenty of episodes. This must have been an episode from before. They must have actually done it.
Maybe. I don't know. That's a...
yeah.
The writers seemed fairly lazy on this show. So for them to plan that seems odd.
So we get the very first scene. We do get the main, like, he's a lawyer. I can't... weren't the lawyers named, like, Creep and Crawly?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And Creep is there, but his associate Crawly can't be there. He's sick, right? So the last wishes of this rich billionaire guy, he's basically going to give his address or his will over on a record. He has a record where he's recorded it. There are some fun gags in here, like where he asks a question and like Scooby answers it, and then the record answers back, even though the guy's totally dead. He just knew the question was going to happen. But essentially, Brad's already set it up for us. They're the five of these people, the four relatives and Scooby. They never said the gang. However, I guess it's a package deal, right? He's there kind of with him.
Yeah, Scooby's got like the easy win here, right? He's not alone.
Everyone else can just stand guard, really. They have to spend the night in this mansion. By the way, it's haunted. If you last, the number of people left split the shares of whatever, $1 million they're going to give them, right?
Right.
And very early on, this is a very creepy mansion, and you don't see the lawyer again. So I'm just saying, maybe suspect him a little bit. Very early on, some weird stuff start happening. It's like 10 p.m. at night, and so everyone decides, let's just go get ready for bed, right? Like, this is going to be so easy. It's already 10. We took this boat out here at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll just go to sleep. Easy. But, you know, Scooby-Doo decides to take a bath, which, if I'm just staying somewhere for the night...
yeah.
The chances of me, like, taking a shower or a bath are probably pretty rare unless we did some sort of activity that involved me having to take a bath. Or if maybe there's a hot tub. Might get in a hot tub.
Yeah.
But the likelihood of me, like, I probably didn't bring any clothes. I'm just spending the night and then I'm going to get my money and bounce.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I feel you. And also, this first scene with the bath is one of the first moments I can remember as a kid, and I do believe there's a name for this this technique, but or the strategy or whatever, is that you can tell what objects are going to move in a scene versus what the painted background is because of the line work, because of the color, the way it pops. Because, you know, traditionally, I think the backgrounds are all painted. The layouts are all painted out. And that's going to be totally different than the people who are doing the line work and the actual animation artist, right? So this is when Scooby gets, like, pulled from this bathtub down into the basement. And it's the first time we see this ghastly-looking ghoul, this this floaty green ghost, basically. And he's going to be kind of the guy that chases everybody around.
Scooby, I thought you were taking a bath.
Rub, rip, to the next one.
Like you mean the tub tipped up and slid into the basement? And you saw a shadowy, chain-rattling phantom? You gotta be kidding. Come on, let's take a look at that tub.
They do find out that one of the other relatives is gone. He's gone missing. So they're like, well, more money for us. Go back to bed. Let's all lock our doors. This is totally going to work. So the gang's plan here is to do a stuffed version, like a, they find like a melon and some carrots and a guitar, like, I don't know, 2x4, and make a Scooby-Doo fake. And they're going to try to get him stolen, even though it's not the real Scooby-Doo, while the gang goes out and tries to poke around to see what might be going on.
Right, yeah.
They do find underneath, kind of interesting, I wonder if the show would air today, just because of how PC things can totally be, but they do find underneath, because he was a soldier in the Civil War, or whatever war they might happen to be part of, here, that probably would have been way too early, actually. There's, like, Confederate flags. There's, like, all these, like, different artifacts of a war, like a wagon, muskets, and these kind of things that I just don't know if they would air on cartoons these days, or maybe it's just something that they just, you know... It's like it's a history vault now, right?
Yeah, it's a history thing. I was wondering that too. I was thinking that, like, it's like a Confederate soldier, and they like had all these uniforms and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, I wonder if they'd just be like, well, let's just pull this one from rotation, kind of thing.
That could be, and you know, it's pretty tame. It's like in the background. It's not like it's overt or anything like that.
But, right. Yeah.
But they do find, at one point, there's like a jacket that starts flying at them, and it turns out it's like a goose is in the jacket. Okay, well, that's like a red herring there. They do find this hidden elevator that ends up going to one of the other relatives' room, and he's gone. And then finally, they check, and all of the relatives are gone. So now, Scooby's like, dude, easy million, right? This is all we need here. But the gang, like... stumbles into this organ room or something. I think there was some off comment by Velma that was like a fourth wall sort of thing, like, oh, this is super spooky, the only thing missing is like an organ, and then the organ starts playing, right? There is some very, as fun as it is as like a detective thing the show is, in this episode in particular there are a couple of moments where stuff is just written out for you, you know, like
the feed the organ
thing. The one prior to, I passed over, was the rhyme that was like signed by the Phantom Spectre. And it's like, oh, so the villain even named himself. It's like putting the sticky bandits on your, like, you know, on your note of something you stole. But yeah, what was it? Feed the organ, and something about a trap door or something like that.
Yeah, the door below, the door under your feet will be revealed or something like that.
Yeah, like look at the floor. As they start playing this organ, the walls of the room start collapsing in on the gang until Velma, the smart one of the group, decides, hey, feed is actually notes, F-E-E-D, so play those notes. Trapdoor opens, they get out safely, and this is kind of where they discover the almost like the catacombs of what this is, this mansion is, and it kind of sets you up for the final chase, and you get a lot of those great Scooby-Doo moments, some of the first times I ever saw this stuff. Actually, I guess Looney Tunes might have been the first time, but... where they're running between doors, they're running from this side of the frame to that side of the frame and coming back with different people piled on top of different people. Like, they just have all these fun gags in Scooby-Doo.
No! Like, keep playing the organ! It might stop those wild walls! It worked! The
like playing musical riddles.
That's it. Daphne, this is a musical riddle. I've got it. Feet isn't a word. It's musical notes. F-E-E-D. Look, secret stairs in the floor.
Come on, let's see where they go.
There was one that I think didn't work as well, which was their Scooby and Shaggy are on like a tandem bike trying to bike away, and the camera pulls out and both of the skeletons or whatever the ghosts are on the back of it, but in the close shot you could see the ghosts, like it was too it wasn't close enough.
I didn't catch that. But then they decide to like build this trap, this very elaborate trap where they have a fan. That's going to blow the ghosts because, you know, they're ghosts, so they're going to be super light to blow.
Yeah.
But then they put a bunch of dish or like washing detergent on the floor, so it's all slippery. Yeah. So when the fan blows, you're going to get stuck or you're going to slide across the floor, and then they got the washing machines open and the ghosts will fall into the washing machine and then they can close the lid.
Oh, no, wait, you're forgetting the key part here, which is you slide across the soap and then an ironing board springs open and flings you into the
I thought you just slid and then you like fall into it. Okay.
It's crazy that this works. And you know what? They test it with a Great Dane.
Yeah.
A fan blows a Great Dane.
The little office fan. It's not a box fan. It's like one you'd if anyone's ever worked in like a warehouse or something, it's just kind of like a big like industrial fan, but not big enough to like blow you around, but big enough to like for a space kind of thing, like a bigger space.
Like I've seen some goofy traps before, but this is the goofiest.
Not goofy, Shaggy. Simple. We use a fan, some soap suds on the floor, a spring-loaded ironing board, and a washing machine.
And when those ghosts come through the door, we're going to take them to the cleaners.
Now, let's see how it works. Ready, Scooby?
Ready.
And Scooby-Doo, of course, screws this up. Before they can lure the ghost there, Scooby thinks they said the command. He turns it in reverse, which ends up pulling the washing machine towards him, creating this basically a drone, dude, like a drone airplane of a flying washing machine on this fan ironing board thing.
So now we get another chase scene of Scooby-Doo and Shaggy flying around on the airplane washing machine, basically chasing the ghosts around. Yeah. At one point, the ghosts go into the elevator and the plane goes into the elevator. Then we wait like two beats. The elevator opens on another floor and out comes the ghosts. Yeah. And then a moment later, out comes Scooby and Shaggy flying, which I don't know how that worked, but fair enough.
You really just need to let it go, man. And in the end, apparently now Shaggy's an expert pilot. He's found out how to control this thing. They're sliding down the stairs and end up capturing them inside of the washing machine. This all really just sets up for once they reveal that it was in fact Creepy and Crawly, the two lawyers who were handling the estate of the deceased Colonel Mustard here. It was, of course, them. There was a great pun of, oh, looks like these guys are hanging out to dry. Like,
of course
they were. You know, so they discovered it. And then they find all the money. They're like, well, Scooby, you get this $1 million. It's all Confederate money. It's worthless now. It's not accepted anywhere.
Yeah, it's not accepted. I bet that money would probably be worth more cash, right?
So. Yeah, you take it to some pawn TV show.
I bet some like...
collector,
currency collector, those people that collect coins, like that's probably legit.
So I mean, that's the end of the episode, man. It was kind of hilarious. I will say this about this episode in particular, and I'm sure this happens a lot, these guys are just lawyers, the villains here. They are hella talented to make like models of all the other people, like these wax figures that look exactly like them, and like set up elaborate traps in this mansion. Like, come on, dude.
But, oh yeah, even at the end here, a bone floats in the sky and Scooby-Doo gets this bone. And there's no, like, hey, that's really creepy. This bone just like floated through the air.
Right. Just eats it and it's it. And that's it. Yeah. Good laugh. So, Brad, how was it revisiting Scooby-Doo? Because I definitely had a lot of fun. It brought back a lot of memories of course, we weren't around when this originally aired, but I think growing up, it was similar to us with Looney Tunes. It was just kind of on a lot.
Yeah, like I've seen so much Scooby-Doo. Like it's just, it was one of those shows, like if the TV was on, there was probably a good chance it was Scooby-Doo.
Right.
Like just how much it was on TV, because I think that catalog of episodes is huge. And like we said in the beginning, like you can run them over and over again because they're all the same. You will never remember like, oh, I think I saw the one where they had to spend the night in a castle. Oh no, that was a different one where they had to spend the night in the castle, you know?
Right.
So you've seen them because they're repeated all the time in the same stories.
But there's like something weirdly endearing about that. And maybe that's the legacy that Scooby-Doo holds on to, is like how kind of innocent that formula is. Like, you know what to expect, you kind of get into it, and you're there for Shaggy's wacky jokes, you're there for Scooby's laugh, you're there for Velma figuring out the clues and stuff, and that formula is endearing.
If they were to bring it back now, I know they try all the time to kind of relight this property. It has to be for like a very younger audience now. I know it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. My wife, she worked on an episode of Scooby-Doo that ended up being, they put it out as a movie, but it was a puppet version of Scooby-Doo. So it's like everyone was little miniature puppets, like Muppet Baby, like Muppet puppets.
Right.
And so they did a full episode of Scooby-Doo with puppets. And I think they had hoped that maybe they might do a full season of this, but they just ended up putting it out as a DVD that you could buy, and just kind of, they kind of do these one-offs with Scooby-Doo sometimes where they just kind of test and see like, what's the interest if we do like a new modern cartoon version? What's the interest if we do a puppet version, live action? Like, where's the property kind of fit in today?
Yeah, will this still work? Is it worth it? I think that maybe if they were to keep the formula the same, I'm not a kid anymore, so I don't know. I just assume that, I guess, modern audiences are a little bit more intelligent about that kind of stuff and maybe want more out of that, so maybe you do have to skew younger. But if they keep it too, it's like also wholesome and like we remember it, so we would show it to our kids regardless.
Yeah, but I think doing like if your target is maybe like 7 and under or 6 and under, then you can get away, because the Scooby snack thing is like a funny thing that maybe you know what the Scooby snacks are as you get older, but as a kid you're like, I just like cookies, like Cookie Monster. And so.
Yeah. So definitely a fun one to revisit. I think it was about time. I mean, really, we've done a lot of episodes, and the fact that we didn't cover Scooby-Doo, I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I'm glad we finally checked it out, and there's also a handful of other Scooby-Doos we could do, but I figured we'd do OG Scooby and actually get to sort of where the show came from. It definitely still holds up. There's just something wholesome about it that, like, you don't have these nostalgic glasses on when you're watching it. You just kind of enjoy it.
And I don't mind the Scrappy-Doo stuff. I know a lot of people hate on it. From what I remember, I didn't like hate it as much as people pretend maybe they hate it today.
Yeah, it's the fun thing to dogpile onto, is to hate Scrappy-Doo, right? So,
nice pun.
That worked out nice. I think that means it's time to get out of here. This has been another fun episode. Brad, where can people find you when you're not recording Toon Talk Weekly?
So you can follow me on Twitter @brad, and then my blog digitalhitchhiker.com.
Great, guys, go check them out over there. You can follow me on Twitter @JacobWilliams. And of course, if you want more Toon Talk Weekly, we're all over the place @ToonTalkWeekly on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Google+. You can find us all. I got the names everywhere, so they're ours. You can get it there. ToonTalkWeekly@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of this episode or others, or maybe if there's cartoons we haven't covered that you think would be interested in, let us know. We'd love hearing recommendations from you guys. Also, if you have more info on Scooby-Doo, maybe there's stuff we missed, or if you worked on Scooby-Doo. I think some of the most fun stuff I've had is hearing from people who worked on shows that we found. If you happen to find the show and worked on Scooby-Doo, send me a message, because we'd love to hear about the backgrounds, the stories, any of that stuff. That'd be fun. And finally, ToonTalkWeekly.com, the main hub for the show, where you guys can find any and all episodes we've done up to this point, including this one and show notes with the episodes. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. We're going to be back next week. We're going to be talking about the DuckTales 2017 series. I believe we've already talked about the original DuckTales, So it's about time we watch this new one from last year. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week with another cartoon.
Take care.
To learn more about the show, visit ToonTalkWeekly.com or follow us on Twitter at ToonTalkWeekly.